Thank you, brother. You know, you saying that reminds me of just how awestruck that I'm standing here, and I honestly feel really almost ashamed to stand before you. About 5-6 years ago now, your annual meeting was the first annual meeting I came to. And at the time, I was a completely different person. I actually drove down, unbeknownst to anyone here, wearing pajamas, because that was how I got around. But Brother Andy talked me into changing into normal street clothes. I'm pretty happy he did. I would have been a little embarrassed. Elder Bradley was here, and I forgot the name of the other elder that was here, but I distinctively remember being stricken by just how sure the word of the Lord is and how pervasive it is to change us in so many ways. And I had so much respect for the preachers who were blessed to come before me and everyone that was there with specific messages from God's word. And, you know, at times I really feel like I'm overstepping my bounds to try and teach things that I'm learning about and that are burdening me. So just ask your patience with me this morning. Been reading and listening to a book by J.I. Packer called Knowing God. I strongly recommend it for anyone, as Elder Andy, our pastor, gave it to me. And we were listening to it on the way down again to you this morning. And one of the things it points out is that the world has changed many, many, many times. I'm not sure as to what matter of business or home you all come from, but I'm a merchant. I buy and I sell, primarily plumbing supplies, but it's my job to negotiate deals that at the end of the year add up to about $2 to $4 million worth of transactions every year. In that, I will, you know, start a conversation with something along the lines of your price is too high or your price is too high. And you know, we'll come to some agreement on how much of a product I'll purchase if they come to some reasonable expectation. We'll shake hands usually pretty much every time, you know, make eye contact. And that's a verbal agreement between men in our current age. Sometimes they even try to get me to sign something. I usually don't, if I can help it at all, because I feel like that's a lot more powerful. But the world has changed. And as you open your Bible, you'll oftentimes find yourself in a circumstance like that that happens in Genesis 15, where you look and you're trying so hard to know God, to know His Word, to learn Him more. At a moment pushed with all the zeal and desire, the hatred of sin and the love of God and the just that earnest push to do things right as by Him who was so kind enough to reach out to us and save us. And then you hit this strange brick wall. I'm going to read Genesis 15 to you, if you would. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of thy house is this Eliezer of Damascus? And they're making a deal. I don't know if you guys caught that. And Abram said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in mine house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now toward heaven, and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. And he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees to give this land, to give thee this land to inherit it. And he said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? And he said unto him, Take me an heifer of 3 years old, and a she-goat of 3 years old, and a ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And he took all these, and divided them in the midst, and laid each piece one against another. But the birds divided he not. And when the fowls came down upon the carcasses, Abram drove them away. And they made a deal, very different to the ones we're used to. The Lord told him particular animals to take out and literally cut them in half and then walk in the middle of them. I don't know if any of you guys have ever done anything like that, purchasing a car or a house, but I have not and I've never seen it. But the point of it was to say that if I break my part of this bargain, let it be to me like it is unto these animals. It took such things very, very seriously. However, that doesn't happen anymore in the current day. The point was, however, that our word by itself is very difficult to trust. That has remained the same, but the way that we try to protect ourselves against that has changed very much. We use contracts of every sort and manner as our strongest form of binding, but even those we work very hard to get out of. So as you look at the Old Testament and you look at an age that has no cars, most often doesn't even have the written word in their houses, has none of the things that make your life what it is, has very few of the common debates, and certainly has none of the culture that you're used to, none of the immediate speed of transaction or anything else along those lines. Even the mode of becoming married was completely foreign to us. So how can we understand this as we study the scriptures? Well, we're not necessarily trying to study their culture. However, I strongly urge all of you, seeing as how you do live in the information age, to try to study their culture so you can translate. But what you are studying is God and his principles. Because there's one thing that you can believe in as you read these scriptures, and it's actually the reason that you read these scriptures, and that is that God, as he says in Malachi 3:6, "For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed." The Lord, through all things, has not changed. So if you want to know more about him, study the scriptures. And if there's a passage in scriptures you don't understand, either ask your elders or begin to search. There are so many great resources. But you must open the scriptures understanding where it's coming from. That the world has changed, but principles and men, for the large part, remain the same. And so, as you study the scriptures and you depend on that one most important fact, that God has not changed throughout it, it's important. We sing a song called Standing on the Promises of God. It's a great song. I really enjoy it. The kids really love it. And it's a especially helpful song for remembering those very important things. And so as you look, and you look at a time, say, when Noah comes off the ark and he sees a new world. He saw an old world that none of us will ever see, a paradise. A time and a place where there was, I'm fairly certain, was much more life than we see on the planet today. The old world was destroyed. But Noah came out of the ark and saw a new world. So this is a man who saw an old and new world that we almost know nothing about, because even his culture has completely changed. And yet, to him, God promised, "While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and night and day shall not cease." So if you have a moment of doubt, and you're not sure whether God's word is holding true in your life, in some of the more fine details of the day-to-day, just wait until nighttime and see if it gets dark. And while the world promises over and over again that we're going to end winter through our political tactics, just wait until winter comes and see if it comes. And then, right now, as we're all very tired of winter, as you wait upon the Lord, wait upon summer. And when it comes and you enjoy the pleasure of being outside again, remember that that's another example of his promises being unchanging, no matter what anyone says. Not a single promise of God has been disproved in the information age. And though pundits or haters of the Bible can very much stand on the ground that it was written in an age that we don't understand anymore, it was old. Again, not a single time has one of his promises been broken. So I'd just like to leave you with one of those promises in Psalms 85. "Lord, thou hast been favorable unto thy land. Thou hast brought back the captivity of Jacob. Thou hast forgiven the iniquity of thy people. Thou hast covered all their sin." Selah. "Thou hast taken away all thy wrath. Thou hast turned thyself from the fierceness of thine anger. Turn us, O God, of our salvation, and cause thine anger to cease. Wilt thou be angry with us forever? Wilt thou draw out thine anger to all generations? Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Show us thy mercy, O Lord, and grant us thy salvation. I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace unto his people and to his saints. But let them not turn again to folly. Surely his salvation is nigh to them that fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. Yea, the Lord shall give that which is good, and our land shall yield her increase. Righteousness shall go before him and shall set us in the way of his steps.